Welcome to Sozo's Podcast, a student ministry of Victory Family Church located in Cranberry Township, PA. We're glad you're here. We meet every Wednesday night from 6:30 to 8:30. Check us out on Instagram at SozoYTH.
All right. Come on, man. It's so good to be with you all tonight. I appreciate Pastor Ben having me come, and I saw that Zach Del Turco's back with us tonight. Give him a big old hand. Come on, man. And how many of you love Zach, man? He's a good man when he sleeps, isn't he? And so, no, he's a blessing, man. So, hey, listen, I want to talk to y'all. Yeah, I know that Pastor Ben's been talking to y'all about kingdom builders, and I want to just share four simple things with you tonight. But then when we end up, I want to pray for every one of you. I want to lay my hands on each one of you and pray for you. And there's a reason. Because I want you to understand that what I want to talk to you tonight is not a message about something you need to learn. I want you to discover who you are tonight. What I'm about to talk to you about tonight is not something that God wants to do in and through your life when you're my age. You know, when I began to just walk with God, I was in my early 20s. And if you would have asked me, how old were the people that Jesus trained and used for ministry, I would have said, you know, like 50, 60. But the reality of it is, almost all of the apostles were closer, much closer to your age. I mean, almost all of them were well below the age of 30. And I would assume some of them were probably in their late teens. And so God, there's a history of revolution in the earth, and both good and bad. And can I tell you, it never happens through 58-year-old men. Revolutions happen through teenagers and 20-somethings. And so when you think of God using somebody, I don't want you to think about, well, my time will come. I want you to get something that your time is right now. It's not to come. Yeah, but, you know, I'm still in school. And no, listen. I want you to understand that God's purpose for your life, living beyond your own world, your own life, your own wants, your own needs, your own happiness, your own sadness, it doesn't start when you get your first job out of school or whatever you do. It starts right now. And God calls people to be used by him. Now, listen, when I say God calling you, I don't mean that everyone in this room is going to be in a ministry like I'm in. I'm talking about wherever you are called to live your life, in whatever field, in whatever area that is, whether that's in business, it doesn't matter. Wherever you log up, and including in the way you live your life within your family. So let me read a scripture to you. Say this out loud. I'm a kingdom builder. It's what you are right now. Mark 3, Jesus said this in verse 14. He appointed 12 that they might be with him, that he might send them forth to preach, to have authority to cast out demons. And there's four things I want you to see tonight that Jesus did with those that he called. And I also want you to see that when you think of Jesus picking somebody, I don't know about you, I always think of somebody that's got it together more than me. That, I mean, God, you know, God couldn't use me. God, if Jesus were walking around tonight and he was going to pick some people to appoint, I think he'd probably find someone else than me. That's an absolute lie. Here's the first thing I want you to get that Jesus did. It said he appointed 12. That means he chose them. How many of you have given your life to Christ? Raise your hand. Here's the thing I want you to understand. You did not find God. He was not lost. He found you. Yeah, but my parents, no, listen to me. The Holy Spirit, the scripture said, is the part of the Godhead. God, one God, three distinct personalities that drew you to the Father. You are chosen by God. Listen to that. See, you live in a world that you may not feel chosen. You know, when I went to school, there seemed to always be that guy, that girl. They just seemed that they were faster. They hit the ball. You know, they just looked to me like, you know, there were that, there's, man, they just seemed to have it. I never felt like that. Can I tell you about the people you think are like that? Most of those people don't feel that way either. Most of us feel more rejection than we do acceptance. Most of us compare ourselves with other things that make us feel less than we should. And man, you live in a world, come on, man, that this thing is screaming at you night and day to compare yourself. And there's a reason why the Bible said when you compare yourself with other people, you're not wise. Because only two things can happen when you compare yourself. Number one, you will be better than somebody or you will be worse than somebody. And both of those are a lie. How many of you know nobody better than anybody? I don't care what they do, what they don't do, who they are. He said, man, but in your generation, the cry is to be famous. How many likes do you get? How many people follow you? And people want to be known. And yet, if you really know any famous people, it's not something anybody would really want who's healthy. And the people that I know that would be considered famous, man, it is not healthy. It is not healthy at all. And those are people that the people would line up to have their life, and you wouldn't want their life. It's that because you're wanting something outside to tell you who you are. And listen to me. There is nothing outside of you that should define you. Nothing. You need to understand, number one, you are chosen by God. God wants to know you and wants you to know him intimately. And that's the first thing I want you to get, that Jesus intentionally picked you. Do you know that he calls you when you gave your life to Jesus, that he said, I put you in my body? Now, listen, I didn't say in a group of people that he just said, okay, I tolerate you. Jesus calls you a part of his very own body. He's the head and we're the body. And that means he singularly and specifically and uniquely put you somewhere on purpose. And when you understand that you were called by God and appointed by God, not just to be this general kind of forgiven person, but you were appointed by God to do something with your life, empowered by God. Now, this is really important because the group of guys Jesus picked, nobody would have picked. When Peter finished his first sermon, you know what they said about him? They said, that man is an ignorant man. He's uneducated. He has no education. He's unlearned. They basically said, that man can't even speak properly. But then they said something else. But then they took note and knowledge that he had been with Jesus. Now, how many of y'all grew up in Beaver County or live in Beaver County? Okay, how about Allegheny County? Butler County? Okay. Any other counties here? Lawrence, I'm sorry, man. I've been left out Lawrence County. That's a shame leaving out Lawrence County, isn't it? I'll leave it at that. But anyway, when I started traveling and speaking, people would say to me, and this was, I would be in the South, and I had a guy come up to me after I just started traveling in churches, and this pastor came up to me, and he had a real strong Southern accent. He said, John, he said, I'm sure what you say is wonderful. Like no one can understand a word of it. Because I had a really strong Beaver County accent that I grew up with that I kind of mumbled words together and they could not. So I had to really learn how to speak in a way that people outside of where I grew up could understand. Do you know when Peter, listen, man, nobody picked this crew, but Jesus did. And when the people looked at them on the outside, they were like, these guys are worthless. But then they said, but wait a minute, but I know they'd been with Jesus. So number one, say it out loud, I'm chosen by God. I don't care who's rejected you. I don't care who says you're wonderful, who hasn't. If in your home life, it's been less than ideal. The amount of kids growing up with two parents in the same home from birth to when they leave is almost down to there's very few of them. And you can experience a lot of stuff when your family goes through stuff. You can start to feel certain forms of rejection. Parents go through things, and you're too young when it happens, and you're young, and you don't know how to process that. All you can think is it's me. When my wife's father left her at 8 years old, All she knew at 8 years old, he left me. She didn't know he was messed up. She didn't know there was just some issues in his life. All she could know as an 8-year-old girl, something's wrong with me. Something's broken in me. And it set her up for a life of pain. Except Jesus chose her. And no one and nothing now has to define her. So say it again. I'm chosen by God. Second thing, this is really interesting. He appointed them, now listen to this, that he might be with them. Jesus wants to spend time with you. He chose them. Listen to how intimate this is. So he could be with them. You see, when you spend time with God in prayer, or you study God's word, or you read the scripture, or you read stuff, or listen to a podcast of somebody that you really like. And you see, it's not just a human speaking to you, even tonight. It's the Holy Spirit that will speak to your heart. And the more time you are in the presence of God, you begin to spend time with him, and you begin to know God, and you begin to find freedom by being in his presence. See, coming in intimacy with God will liberate you from the things that life has tried to imprison you with. You all are having to fight through prisons that didn't exist in my generation. You guys are facing things that they hadn't thought of when I was a kid. It's not like 19 when you face it, like 10, 8. The average person is subjected to hardcore pornography at 8 years old. It's crazy. But when you spend time with him, you begin to know freedom. Let me read a scripture to you. In John 3:22, it said, after this, Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside, where he spent some time with them and baptized. The word spent some time is a Greek word. It's a compound word, diatribo. And I'm sure there's a better way to say it, but I'm Italian and not Greek. So, but here's the deal. The word dia means against, and tribo means rub. To rub against. We say it this way in our speech today. Man, don't hang out with that person. They'll rub off on you. You ever hear that term, man, they rubbed off on, you know, like father, like son. Man, you're just like your dad. You're just like your mom. They rubbed off on you. How many of you have some stuff in you because you say things or you think things because someone rubbed off on you? Jesus said, the reason he said spent time with, he said, I wanted to rub off on them. See, coming here and connecting with people that are doing their best to walk with God and know God, and with people that are, and how many, come on, give it up for all the small group leaders that are pouring their life into you. Come on, I'm serious. Give it up for them. They are pouring their life into you. But that's exactly what happened to Peter. They said, see, but it didn't change how he looked to other people. It didn't change the outside of Peter. It didn't change his speech patterns. It just changed him. And they said, that dude had never been to school. And these are the educated group. They said, but Jesus rubbed off on him. He wants to spend time with you. God's not interested in your perfection. He's interested in the purpose that he's made you for. And he wants to spend time with you so he can rub off on you. He rubs off on you. You find freedom. Third thing is this. He didn't just choose them and appoint them. He didn't just want to spend time with them. He did it for a reason. The third thing he said, so he could send them out or send them forth or to commission them to do something specific with their life. In other words, he said, I made them for a purpose. See, Jesus doesn't appoint you just so you could spend time with him and find freedom for yourself. You will never know happiness in this life if that's all you live for. Yeah, man, if I could make some money, if I could just get this, if I could get that, there's nothing wrong with, you know, making money or being, quote, successful. Nothing wrong with that. But don't ever kid yourself that you think that's going to make you happy. That is not where happiness comes from. You say, I don't know if that's true. Look, I've been with people a long time. Pastors, we go into territories with people that most people won't talk to you the truth. But I've knelt beside people that are dying more times than I can remember. And I've knelt by the bedsides of people with more money than you could spend personally in 5 lifetimes. They die just like poor people. I've never met a person in my life that great wealth has benefited them at all. I know very few people. In fact, I have to tell you, I don't know one person. That's why Jesus said it's hard for a wealthy person to enter the kingdom. He said it's harder than for a wealthy person to enter the kingdom than for a camel to go through the eye of the needle. Now, it doesn't mean like the needle of a little knife, you know. The eye of the needle was a gate of the city. He said, and to get the camel into the city, the eye of the needle was a pedestrian gate that they opened only at night, because the big gates of the city where you would bring your camels are like a U-Haul truck. He said, but if you're going to get the U-Haul through the eye of the needle, you got to strip all the stuff off the camel, put the camel on its knees, walk it through that little door, get it back on its feet, and then bring all your stuff behind it. Don't you think for a minute people with money, that it produces anything except responsibility? Because it does not answer a problem. If you don't know God intimately, and if you're not submitted to God in your life, money will create havoc in your life. And the more of it you have, the more messed up you'll be. And what I'm trying to get across to you is that you were defined and appointed and called by God into his family. And you literally were set apart to spend time with him because he has a purpose for your life. He said, I'm not just doing this, hanging out with y'all for 3.5 years for a game. I'm about to commission you to go change the world. And that's exactly the same commission is on you that was on them. It's not any different. The last thing Jesus said when he left the earth, he said, you go get me the whole world. Jesus has a call upon your life to change this world. And that's why when you put God's purpose first in your life, not second, not third, start with your money. You make, I don't care what you make, you take a tenth of that and you put it in the kingdom of God. Do it while you're young. Why? Because that's not, it's God's. A tenth of everything you make belongs to him. You're talking about money. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about you living your life well. Learn to give God what he says is his, so that what he entrusts you for the rest, you've learned how to handle well. Because I've learned if people can't handle a dime out of a dollar, they can't handle hardly anything. So, you know, I have two daughters, and young men are going to want to fall in love with my daughters and marry them someday. They're wonderful girls. My girls want to walk with God. I have one question first for a boy who wants to date my daughter. I want to know, I want to know how you handle your money. Do you take what belongs to God for your own happiness? I need to know that. I want proof that you don't steal from God. Because tithing isn't giving. It's just saying, I'm not going to take what God says. You understand all 100% of it's God's. 90% isn't yours either. The 90% is what I'm called now to steward or to manage for God in my life. You know, your own body doesn't even belong to you. You're bought with a price, and you cost the blood of Jesus. So I want to ask a young man, and I mean this sincerely. Son, if you're willing to steal from God for your own happiness, you know what you'll do to my daughter? You will use her for the same thing. And then I will have to kill you and go to prison. I don't want to go to prison, but I'm willing to. In fact, a young boy dating my daughter, Alexa, I was teasing him, and he met me, and I said, listen, man, I just want you to know I'm willing to go back to prison, man. He kind of, his eyes got big. But here's the reality I want you to get. You are called of God for a reason, and the reason isn't to go get an education and get a great job. Because you're going to live and die. And do you really think the God of the universe made you just so you could eat and go on vacation and make some friends and pay bills? Is that really a reason to live? Now, those are not unimportant things to God, by the way. In fact, Jesus said it this way, seek first the kingdom of God and all that stuff I will add to you. He said, seek the kingdom first. Here's what I want to ask you. In walking with God is not, well, I have to lay this down, I have to give that up. No. You get to live a life of meaning. You get to live a life where you partner with the very power of God. It's not a have to, it's a get to. And I want you to see tonight as I talk to you, is not this burdensome thing you have to do as a Christian. Man, it's a privilege that you are made on purpose for a reason. And when you use something for what it was intended for, great things happen. But when you misuse something and you use it for what it was not intended for, bad things happen. The word, y'all have heard the word abuse, right? All it's a compound word, abnormal use. That's all it means. My hand is not made to be a shovel. If I go outside and I try to dig with my hand a ditch, eventually my fingernails will come off. I will literally destroy my hand by trying to do that. It wasn't designed to be a shovel. And when you live outside of your purpose, it's like taking your hand and trying to dig a ditch with it. If I said to you, you can dig a ditch in your backyard with your hand or hire some guy with a backhoe, that big old thing comes in and goes shoom, 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 and is done. How many of you want? I'm the backhoe guy. Bring me the backhoe. Because I don't want to. See, when you understand that living within your purpose is the difference between living a life being a backhoe or trying to do something with your hand that a backhoe was designed to do. You could dig a ditch with a shovel. Take you longer. When you find your purpose in God, it's the difference between digging with your hand, digging with a spoon, digging with a shovel, or digging with a machine that just tears it up. Because here's the fourth reason thing Jesus said. First thing he said to them, I've chosen you. I want to be with you. Number two, I want to send you forth and commission you in a purpose. And then he said something else. The fourth thing he said, and now I give you authority. What's that mean? I'm not just sending you out on your own. I'm not telling you, y'all, just be sacrificial and go be punished for Jesus. He said, I am going to give you authority and power that comes only from me. I want to tell you a story, and then I want to pray for you. Here's what I've learned about walking with God. See, I wasn't always a 58-year-old guy. I was once, you know, how many of y'all know you aren't born at 58? When I was in my early 20s, and Michelle and I, you know, we'd gotten married, and we were trying our best to follow God with our life. I remember when I was in Bible school, man, all these people were kind of emerging, and nobody picks Michelle and I to do this, except my mother. Yeah, my mother, she'd have picked me. My mother, she loves us, so anyway. But no one else picks us to do any of this stuff. But here's what I learned about following God. It's not what you bring to the table. It's what you yield over to God, what you accept that he gives you. God has a grace upon your life. Listen, that grace is a supernatural endowment of power. And when I was 20, I was 16 when God really spoke to my heart. And then that was just a very brief time, and I fell away very quickly. But in my early 20s, man, I laid it down. I said, God, I want to fulfill your plan for my life. In my case, it's ministry. And I was 5 or 6 years old, and Michelle and I were married, and we were in South Africa. And South Africa at that point was in civil war. And we walked into this big old church that we were invited to go have dinner with this pastor. And I walk into this huge church that sat about 5,500 people. And I remember walking into that room, I just wanted to get out of there. It's like, I don't belong here. And this guy's taking us on a tour, and we're just like, oh, just let us out of here. We just felt so uncomfortable. I walked into that room, and the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. He said, I will use you someday to build something like this. It was so real to me. I actually laughed out loud, though. I said, come on. I was so embarrassed about it, I never even told Michelle. That's ridiculous. See, God doesn't ask you and call you to do what you can do alone. He'll put something in your heart, and it doesn't have to be ministry like I'm called to. But there are things on the inside of you right now that life's trying to crush, that the enemy of your soul is trying to extinguish. He's trying to get you to take your pain and medicate it through a certain behavior, sexually and otherwise, so that your life can be trapped and your purpose becomes just not living in pain. You are made for more than just not living in pain. You are made for a purpose. And if all you ever do with your life is try to figure out how to feel better, you waste your life because it never, ever gets to where you think it's where it should be. It's when you give yourself over to the purpose of God that He shows up and things begin to happen that are incredible. It was 25 years almost to the day when we stepped into that building across over there when it came to pass. And in 10 million years, there was no way. How does that happen? I couldn't tell you then, and I can't even tell you now. But it doesn't change. I'll let you in on this, and I want to pray for you. Today, because we're going to launch a campus, a Victory Family Church campus in Newcastle. It'll actually open up February of next year. We were up there today, and we were meeting with some people in a room with some key people, actually the superintendent of the schools. And it was amazing what God, the doors that are opening to see this happen. And all it takes is obedience. Nobody, you can't train somebody to do what only God can do. Nothing wrong with education. Nothing wrong with going to school. Nothing wrong with doing your best. Nothing, but listen to me. If all you're going to do is just try to go get a job because you got some degree, try to make some money, just listen to me. You'll waste your life. Yeah, but you know, I want to be this or more. And then I'll be happy. No, you won't. You will waste your life. Your life will only be meaningful when you learn to give it away right where you're at, how you are, just like you are. To meet the needs of people other than yourself. To see the person no one else sees. To serve people that no one else wants to serve. To start to serve God now. Serve people now. Handle your money in a godly way now. Yeah, but I really want that. No. Don't live for things that won't matter. Jesus chose you to spend time with you so that He commissioned you to do something of meaning with your life that only you can do when He said, I give you now power and authority. And literally, He said in this verse, over demons. Let me tell you something. What you're seeing in this world is this not a bunch of crazy people in a room who thought up crazy stuff. That is from the pit of hell. The difference between your generation and mine, the stupid stuff came out of the kids in my generation. Stupid stuff now is coming out of boardrooms with 60-year-old men and women. They're figuring out ways to control children through sexual behavior for money, who sit in a room, listen to me, and strategize how to own your soul by messing with your sexuality and exciting you and getting you connected to things that ultimately will destroy you. You know the sick thing about it? Is that many of those people, they don't let their own children into the things that they're trying to jam down your throat for money because they don't want their kids messed up. They don't mind doing it to you. Because that's what the scripture said, the love of money is the root of all evil. They don't care. They're just trying to make a buck. And they don't care who they destroy. Can I tell you, you were made for more than some sexual experience. You were made for more than a culture that tells you, if you're really screwed up sexually, you're special. No, you're just screwed up sexually. And you're broken, and Jesus will make you whole. You should buy that nonsense. If I'm this oddity in my life sexually, if I can be, it'll make me special. No, it just makes you broken. It doesn't make you any less if you're dealing with those things. But don't you buy into the stupidity that makes, well, you know, that's that. Look how special I am. No, it isn't special. It's broken. And you weren't made to be broken. You were made to be made whole. In every realm, not just sexually. Because nobody that loves you wants you to be anything other than whole in every area of your life. And I'm here tonight to tell you something, that Jesus, He appointed you for a reason. He chose you. He wants to be intimate and spend time with you. And He has commissioned you for something. And I want to lay my hands on you, and I want to pray for you. And I'm going to lay my, just, and if we could just really, I guess y'all could help me by doing this, is just simply get in a line where I can come and pray for you and then make another line behind it, and I'll be quick. But all I want to do is lay my hands on you and impart to you. The scripture said when you lay hands on people in Jesus' name, very often he will impart spiritual gifts to you. I don't know what he asks you to do with your life, and you probably don't know either. But why don't you commit to doing it, whatever it is? Because he has called you for something great in your life. He's called you to watch lives change under the influence of your life. I don't care where you find yourself or how you find yourself tonight. As the worship team sings right now, just if you would, just if you guys would just help these guys, just line them up, and I'm just going to come pray for you, okay? Then you're going to break into your small groups here in a minute. Guys, I love you so much. Such an honor to be with you. We worship you, Lord. Oh, thank you for your presence. We worship you, Lord. We worship you. We worship you, Holy Spirit. I thank you for your presence in this room. I thank you for your impartation, the gifts you imparted tonight. I thank you for freedom in their life. I thank you for intimacy with their God, for purpose beyond their pain, purpose beyond their present experience in their life. Father, I speak that over their life. Listen to what I hear the Spirit of God saying this in my heart. This is so important. There is an avalanche of my power I desire to bring. I desire to bring through you this generation to your generation. I desire to use you as you are, where you find yourself. And in your weakness, my strength will be made known. And what others may say is impossible, I will do through you. Where others may look and say, that can't happen through you, I will work together with you. I will join together with you. I will impart to you divine capacity. And I will use you as a generation. I will use you together. I will use you as individuals to bring freedom to your generation. I will take you places you never dreamed possible. I will liberate you from things that have been generational in your family. I will liberate you from things physically that you think are impossible. I will liberate you from things that are sexual that you think are impossible. Things that you feel, things that have happened to you, things that you've done that you think define you. Nothing defines you but me. No one defines you but me. No one can define you but me. I made you. And I want to spend time with you so that the freedom that I died to provide you will know in every area of your life. So continue to walk with me. Don't run from me when you fail. Run to me. Stop judging me as being against you and judge that I'm faithful and that I love you. For I've called you for a purpose, and I will take you places and in areas of this world and in places and in occupations and avenues that will be as diverse as this room. And I will raise you up to do a great work for me in this earth. For the, you'll hear it said, it's getting darker and it's getting worse and it's getting worse. No, no, no. That's the lie. Because in you is the light. You are the light of the world. And darkness bows its knee every time light shows up. You are the light of the world. You are a city on the hill that cannot be hidden. And I will use you, and you will walk with me, and you will know me, and you will find intimacy with me. Father, I speak that over every student in this room. I thank you, Holy Spirit, now for liberating people in this room right now. Fall upon them in great ways. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen, amen, amen. Hey, guys, I love you so much. Such an honor to be with you all tonight. Amen. Love you guys so much. Pastor Ben.
Hey, guys. Hey, if you've come in here tonight and you haven't made Jesus Lord and Savior of your life, we never want to miss that opportunity. So could we all bow our heads real quick? You know, Jesus said that I'm the way, the truth, and the life. That no man comes to the Father except through me. If you haven't made Jesus Christ Lord and Savior of your life tonight, I want to give you that opportunity. The Bible says in Romans that if you declare with your mouth, that's if we speak that Jesus is Lord and he died on the cross for our sins, that we'll be saved. So in a moment, together, we're all going to pray together. But if you haven't made Jesus Christ Lord and Savior of your life, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you, and you wanted to start your relationship with Jesus tonight, I'm going to ask that you slip up your hand right now. I want to pray with you. Just go ahead and slip your hand up. If that's you, amen, I see that hand. Thank you, Jesus. We're all going to pray together, as I would never embarrass you. And I want to encourage you that when we pray this prayer together, that Jesus Christ is going to come into your life and that you will never be the same. You are saved. You are heaven bound. Let's pray together. Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I believe with all my heart that Jesus, you died on the cross for my sins. I'm a child of God, and I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, can we just give a huge clap? Hey, I got to encourage you that if you made that decision today, to write down today's date as your new birthday, and I just want to celebrate with you. We've got two more songs where we're going to go back into praise and worship for a moment, and I just encourage you, everyone, right where you're at, to just lean in and get everything that you can from God tonight, and then we're going to be heading to small group. So go ahead, let's lift our hands, and let's just begin to praise God. Let's just begin to worship him, and go ahead, Nate, you can take